I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay and it's bitch girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like
welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay. And you are about to see us back on stage.
Oh my God. We're bursting at the seams, girls, because we have been sitting on this for, I'm going to say,
a hot minute.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how long because the news is out. We announced it on our Instagram yesterday. If you're not following us at It Girls Podcast, where the motherfucking hell have you been? We are doing, and this is just giving me a giggle, a residency.
Move over Mariah.
Move over Celine. And Donny Osmond. Because we are the hottest bitches in town. We are taking over every Saturday night. How iconic. Liberty Hall in November. Scorpio season.
Yes. Best season ever. Saturday, the 6th of November, the 20th, 13th, and 27th. I'm just reading our little poster that we got made, and it is so beautiful.
It's so cool. Shout out to Yosef, our incredible designer who took on that feat of doing a beautiful poster for us. Go check it out on our Instagram. But gals, if you are an ex-gal, listen up, okay? We were finally able to secure pre-sale for you guys. So if you want to come to any of those shows, as I said, it's easy. Open up your calendar every single Saturday in November. We will be there. Liberty Hall, Dublin City Centre. €29. The tickets are going to be available for everyone else on Friday. But ex-gals, you are getting a pre-sale.
So you get Wednesday and Thursday. You can secure your ticket for you and your mates. Ex-gals only. We are honouring you and the fact that you really keep us going, and we just adore that you have been able to make this a full-time job for us through our Patreon. So we want to honor you by giving you first access our new show. Brand new show. It's called It Gals on the Edge. Now, these tickets are going to fly out. They always do. Every show we've ever done has sold out. I'm sorry to be flexing, but I cannot deny the truth.
Excuse me while I flex myself. My name is
It is true. It sells out every once. So especially after the biggest dry spell known to man, COVID really got in the way of us being able to fuck shit up on stage. So
there's so many of you, your last night out, us included, was our show on Vicar Street. And we've obviously, you know, through lockdown, through COVID, over the last year and a half, nearly 2 years by the time we get on stage, we'll have, you know, we've got so many new listeners who have never been able to come to one of our shows. This is your chance. These tickets will fucking sell out. I know that sounds incredibly conceited, but we just stating straight up facts.
Look, we're realists over here.
Look, every night I think has 500 people, okay? Four of them. That's the two Vicar Streets. That sold out in like a week or two.
Yeah. So, and that was before COVID. So when like shows were readily available, this is after we have been sat in with our memmies moaning, being like, turn off those It Gals. They're talking terrible things. I don't like it. Listen to it. Now you can have the It Gals experience.
Yes.
In Liberty Hall. We are going to make sure that it is the most lit, fun, energetic, vivacious night that you have ever been to.
Yeah, so it's get like it in your calendar.
That's I'm dying.
I'm living for it. Like, get it in the calendar. You know, this is the year to be making plans now that we can make plans. Okay, second half of this year, honeys, I am lubed up and ready to go.
Schlepping.
We are, you know, so any of my Scorpio sisters, this can be your birthday night out. And if not, right before Christmas, this is your girls' night out. Saturday, every single Saturday, Dublin City Centre, Liberty Hall. Tickets are €29. General sale is on Friday, this Friday, which is the 28th. and 9 a.m. We will be linking them on our social, of course, but they will be available on tickets.ie. So not Ticketmaster, tickets.ie actually have like less charges and all that shit. We got that sorted for you girls. And most importantly, it was because of tickets.ie that we were able to do this pre-sale. So X-Gals, get your ticket before Friday. That is going to be the best chance for you guys to secure the bag.
So X-Gals, you're definitely getting tickets. If you really, really want tickets, even sign up for the month to our Patreon so you can secure the bag. And Wednesday and Thursday, get your tickets because they are going to fly out the wee door, girls.
Fly out the door.
And heard it here first.
For everyone else.
We're manifesting, biatches.
Yes, for everyone else. You know, as I just in case we've had some questions, it is like obviously assigned seating, all that kind of jazz. But, you know, just get your fucking tickets because bum on the seat is the most important thing. That is the most important thing.
Like, we are going to be wild on that stage. It's been so long since we've been able to entertain you all. And it's like, you guys kept us going through lockdown. So we are just going to put on the most fun show for you. You're going to be laughing your head off, having a load of drinks, dancing. We're going to get Mai in so we can be getting like dancing to your fave song with our fave gal. And we're just going to give you so much lol content. It's going to be great old night. There's nothing else like it.
There won't be a bad night, and I'll put my money where my mouth is.
Yep.
Firmly on this microphone. So go check it out, girls. Okay, we've got a Q&A. One of my favorite times of the month. I love the Q&As. We get to hear from you gals. We get to see what the fuck is going on in your lives. Suddenly our lives seem slightly less chaotic. But all of you follow suit, it seems. I mean, I love. I love that we have built this community. Community of crazy girls.
Crazy girlies. Let's kick it off. Hey, ladies, this is a random one. Big fan. But sometimes I feel like I'm not sexy enough to be an it gal. I'm a single mom and my daughter kind of rules the roost. I'm rarely getting the tan on and I don't have the figure. How can I feel like more of an it gal or an XXXXXX gal? Girl, this we had to put in, and especially after announcing our show, because like when we look out at the crowd and the energy, there is such a, like, it's not that there's one visual, and I get what you mean if you're thinking like, oh, I want to be this kind of girl, but like, we are not even that kind of girl. Like, an it gal is a hashtag mood. It's not a look. It's not a, even like a confidence. It really is a kind of like just being authentic to
yourself. It's an energy, you know, it's an energy, and it's a kind of mutual understanding, you know, like there is that nod that, like, you know, I'll see someone with a tote bag and I'm like, oh, hey, honey.
And you know what it is? We were actually talking about this the other day in an interview. Just, you know, booked and busy.
Hashtag more big things coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We're finally that bitch and I'm fucking loving it.
Follow our fucking socials, please, team. So you can be
all three.
Keeping up with the it gals.
To be honest, if you want to know what an it gal is, you follow Pussycat Mermaid of Jane and It Gals Podcast. Okay, I'm not here for any is following one or the other.
I know. When you meet a girl in town being like, oh my God, I love you. And then you're like, oh my God, oh, give me your Instagram, I'll follow you. And then they're like, oh, there's no follow back.
You don't follow me, hon.
I'm requesting. And then you're following me.
You follow all three.
But anyway, what I'm saying is that an it gal, okay, we used it for our podcast because actually when we started, Tara Palmer Tomkinson had died and she was like an iconic it gal, one of the first. And, you know, the idea of the it gal is definitely like ambiguous now because we, you know, Instagram has kind of changed that. People, it's kind more self-made.
Anyone can be an it gal now.
But I think that
kind of leans that into kind it. Of
leans into it. But I think as well, it's an it gal is that there's only one you. Mm-hmm. And in this life, all you can do great is be that version of you as authentically as possible. So to be an it gal isn't like having a certain figure or having a certain tan or wearing clothes or acting like this or getting laid this amount of times or being anything other than 100% you and being the it gal that you are, because there's only one it gal in you.
And like, you know, we have always said, and just in case anyone is a new listener, as I said, we've got loads over the past few years and I always kind of forget that not everyone has been on the full journey. And I don't expect you to go all back 200 episodes to hear our raggedy asses talking into that tiny microphone. Yeah. But, you know, when we started It Gals, it was to represent someone that we felt wasn't being represented in like the Irish media or by influencers.
And social media.
Exactly. And that goes beyond an aesthetic. It's not like, you know, it's not like this representation of like my body shape or representation of brunettes or representation of girls who love fake. Like, it's not about
or
that.
Or leopard print or neon green or anything like that.
It was nothing of the sort. It was a representation of like a type of woman or person, to be honest. I mean, I'm always calling people gal in the DMs. They're like, I'm a lad. And I'm like, TBH, gal is gender neutral to me. Like, I'll be calling everyone gal.
I know. Like, especially when we did our live stream for Patreon the other day and Evan was here and we were like, girlies, come on, let's get going, girlies. And he's just sitting there accepting.
Yeah, I know. And like, so
he's
like,
not like, I'm actually a man. I actually identify as he, she.
Can you call me it, lad, it, guy? But you know, that's what we wanted to represent. It wasn't something that you could like, you know, visualize or, you know, put like, of course there's like some common threads with how we all like maybe are like a bit extra with our sense of style, to be honest, used more than us a lot of the time. Totally. But like there's different elements, but it's all expressed in a certain way. Like maybe you express it with your style, maybe you express it with your personality, maybe you just express it by listening to the podcast and laughing. You know, it's like having a laugh, an attitude, an energy. And we would never want to make anyone who listens to the podcast feel like you can't, quote unquote, be an it girl.
Feel excluded.
If you don't have a certain type of figure or you don't wear fake tan, fuck that shit. Like, it is truly a space where, like, we want anyone who feels like, not even by representation, but doesn't feel like that they can connect with what else is on social media, you know?
It's kind of like living without the facade, which we're so used to seeing on social media. We're so used to seeing people being like, 6 a.m. up doing my emails with my hair, or like no makeup selfie, and they know, and everyone knows that they're looking fucking great. Yeah. That's not it. We just want to be our true selves. And that's difficult, especially, I know, as a mom and a single mom, it's very difficult to kind of like fit in. You know, sometimes it's like I don't fit in with like other mothers because they might have just the kind of more normalized household of having like the husband to lean on, and like that everything is more suited to people who are in relationships like that. That's really difficult. So even you being a single mom, living like your true self, because you have taken ownership of that and you're doing an amazing job by raising a gal who is ruling the roost, apparently. Yeah. And it's really fucking tough, and it's like never ending. And it's like, you know, the judgment that comes from being a mom, and you want to dip into certain things, but you feel judged or you feel, you know, shamed for wanting certain things when you're a mom. It's an amalgamation of just fucking mental chaos in the brain to try and maneuver through being, I think, especially a single mom, because you don't have that rapport with a partner to kind of back, you know, back and forth. And in some ways it's a blessing because you don't have a big moany fucking lad farting and being like, what's your fucking leave I be? When you've been at home with the kid all day, whatever the hell is the situation. Yeah. But it is just about being your true, authentic self and just owning who you are and living it up the best way and being happy. And that's really what we want to put out there as well. Yeah. Like, just enjoy your life, whatever way you're cards are dealt and like handed to you.
And like, you know, if that's just the excuse me, if that's just like the hour a week or so that you get to tune in and listen to this and you feel that kind of part of yourself like come alive, that's deadly, you know. So that's how you be an it girl. It sounds like you're living your life how you are. You're tuning into the podcast, having a laugh with us, connecting with us, engaging with our anonymous Tumblr box.
Yeah,
honey, you're already there.
Sounds like you're an it girl to me.
Okay, next question. I have a decent job, but I'm thinking of retraining to take another job with way less pay and better hours. It's only possible because my fiance makes about 3 times my current salary, so I'll have to rely on him hugely. Does this make me a bad feminist? I want the easy job and the good lifestyle. Kind of feel guilty and embarrassed to tell my friends / fam. What do you think?
So I thought we've never actually touched upon this, I don't think, which this is why we thought that this would be a really good question to touch upon, because this, in our generation, reading this question, I was like, oh, that's a little different, which is so funny because I think in like our parents' generation, that was so much more normalized and wouldn't have been different at all. So it's funny how like in such a quick turnaround, generational wise, that is like now, like say for example, if you came to me, Jenny, and were like, so I'm thinking about dipping out of work, Evan's making a lot of money, I kind of want to, you know, it would be like, wow, that would be quite a statement to make. Whereas, you know, back in the day, it was more of a statement for a woman to go into the workforce and stuff. Yeah. So it's interesting for sure. What do you think?
My initial thoughts are like, if you're in a relationship where that has been like a conversation between the two of you? And like, say for example, you're saying like it's less pay, but it's better hours. Like I'm presuming you might have like a bit of better like quality of life, mm-hmm. you know, like maybe your job at the moment is well paid, but like it's like 60 plus hours a week. You're strapped to the desk all day. You don't really, you know, you don't have much actual time off. Maybe your phone's blown up on the weekends, you know, like, and I think that like, We're all going to have like positions of like different privileges in life, okay? And you shouldn't feel bad because you and your partner have made like a joint decision that might like make your life a bit easier. I think it's like it doesn't make you like a bad feminist or a bad woman, because like those things don't exist. Because in my opinion, once you're like respecting yourself, respecting your family and your loved ones, you're just a good person. You know, that mm-hmm. way, like I don't think you
should, living the life you want to live.
Yeah, like don't hold yourself to this like insane standard of like, you know, in order to be like what you, the world perceives you as a good woman or a good feminist, is that like,
or a successful woman. I think definitely what is like muddy the waters with ideas of being like a successful woman is the quick turnaround of being like, you know, the stay-at-home mom and like being provided for by a man was kind of like, you know, the norm a generation ago, really. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of came, actually no, why should I have to stay home and like not go after like my certain passions with work or whatever? I'm going to get back into the workforce. And then it kind of muddied the waters of being like, we're sold this kind of idea of being a woman and a successful, you know, woman who should, is a proud woman, is one who is minding the kids but also has a business on the mm-hmm. side and also looks great all the time and is also doing it all. She's getting her holiday, she has her girly trip, she has her trip with her husband and her family holiday. It's like, we cannot have it all. And I think we've been sold this idea
No one can have it all.
No one does. Because you can't be like this, you know, I think no matter what, you're going to feel a bit like, oh, if I'm going to, you know, be taking on a full-time job, I'll feel bad for not being at home with mm-hmm. the kids or not being a homemaker. Or, you know, if I'm leaning on my partner for like financial help because I want to kind of go into this direction with a career, I can feel a bit like less than because I need my partner to help. It's so complex, and there's just no right way to be any type of woman other than what is like working for you in your own life.
Yeah, like, and I think that like if you've had this conversation with your fiance, which like it sounds like you have, like you guys are like engaged to be married, you're living mm-hmm. together, like you're building a life together, and if you have come to him and being like, even not directly, but being like, oh, I'm so stressed, like if it has come to this decision of like, look, you can retrain, go for a job that, yeah, you might not have as much disposable cash, but like I can take care of rent or whatever your fucking agreement is, to be honest, is no one else's business but your own. Like, so this whole like, I understand what you mean, like I'm embarrassed to tell my friends and family because people do have judgment around that, like you were saying earlier on, like you touched on it, Linz. But at the end of the day, like that's your business. Like, who pays the electricity bills?
I think we have to learn to shut people down, because it yeah. is really frustrating when people seem to just kind of.
And your quality of life might go up, and that's all that really matters. Like it's not like you're saying like, I met a guy who makes, you know, as he said, three times I'm going to do, so I'm going to like quit my job because I'm just going to become completely reliant on somebody else. Like that's a different energy of.
But even in some spaces, that does work for some people.
Well, if it's a conversation of like where it's a joint decision. But I mm-hmm. think that like there are some people out there who might meet someone who is like maybe from a wealthy family or something, and they're just like, oh, grand, I'm doing fuck all. You're kind of setting yourself up for like, you're going to be completely dependent on someone, you know, that way. Mm-hmm. So, and again, it's your own choice, but I'm saying that this girl's choice is so completely different to that, because you're kind of saying like, you're making a choice to have less hours in the office, maybe a bit more time with him, maybe a bit more time with your family and your friends. Maybe you're not going to be as stressed off your tits. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? We're told this fucking bullshit that like, in order to be like, you know, considered successful, you'd be strapped to a fucking desk for the entirety of your youth. For what? A job that doesn't even pay your health insurance or like give you basic, you know, care, like a pension for a lot of the time, even substantial like working conditions, you know, that way. Like there's places where you've been working, a lot of people have been working from home for the past fucking year, and like most places didn't get like supply desks or like pay for their internet and all this kind of shit.
My friend had to like fight to get a damn laptop.
Yeah, like, so fuck that shit. Like, you
to do a job for someone else.
For someone
coin,
else. You know, from your gaff with no fucking, you know, no one thought you'd be still doing
like
this.
Like her and her brother shared a laptop.
That's insane.
She was like, get me a laptop if I require to. Like, obviously, and it is really difficult. And it's definitely, it is about quality of life. And I think people will, if you're thinking about like other people's kind of opinions, a lot of the time they'll be maybe projecting their own kind of like lack thereof of, you were saying, privileges. Like, you know, you obviously have been able to sit down and have that kind of finances in relationships are kind of a complicated thing to talk about, and they do very much rely on trust mm-hmm. with each other. Like, I know from growing up with my parents, who, like, my mom is a stay-at-home mom, but she managed the household. My dad barely had a clue what he was making because she would manage and, you know, bleed the money to where it needed to go, you know the way. And that shared trust was, I'll go out and earn, but you place where that money is needed, you know. And he kind of trusted, and she never let him down in the regard of, like, she wasn't fucking going to Brian Thomas and being like, actually, let's just have frozen pizza for the fucking week and I'm going to be decked out.
Yeah.
The way, like, she was providing the finances and where they needed to go in the household. That's a shared trust. And that is definitely, I think, like, one point of, like, a successful relationship is being able to speak about finances and figure out how you're going to, like, you know, funnel the money into your livelihood and how you're both going to live together. And it doesn't matter about, like, being, you know, like she's saying, like, he earns three times more than you. That, you know, like, then I think we've spoken about this before, where it's like, if someone's earning like a certain amount and you're in this union, especially when you're like engaged and planning a life together, you know, you both should be, like, I think, spending the same percentage. Like, there's no reason for you to be killing yourself for, like, to make rent or electricity when he is able to provide something that you could be, you know, funneling into a better life for the two of you, because it's a shared life.
Yeah. I mean, again, I just think that it's so down to the person on their agreement, you know, that way. Like, I mean, it can be a bit tough with, like, splitting the hairs of, like, percentile, because your job can be going up, it can be going down. Like, then it's like, what do we re-establish the fucking rent agreement every, you know what I mean? It's like, at the end of the day, with the stuff like rent and stuff, I think, you know, unless you have a different kind of, like, say this, I can understand how this agreement would be different, as in, like, she's taking a step back, her career is changing, and he's obviously offered. But, like, you know, going into a relationship, if the person makes more than you, it would be kind of odd to be like, okay, well, you make 40% more than me, so you'll pay 40% more rent. It's like, we're both living in the same house and enjoying it equally as much. So in my mind, it should be like,
we've always disagreed, I guess. I don't agree with that. I think if someone's earning more, that it's just kind of saying they're in a relationship for, like, so you can both, if you're living a shared life and playing, like, in a shared household, I think the kind of quality of life should be kind of shared in that regard of, like, financially, that you're paying kind of, so one person isn't left without, because I've been in that situation before where, like, a partner of mine was earning more, yet I was paying more. And it was just kind of like, I think for me moving forward in a relationship, I would prefer to have it kind of more finance is to be spoken about in a, like not romantic way, or like in a way that, so, is like, business.
But, like, say if you were the one making three times the amount, would you pay three times the amount of rent?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. If I was, like, had a fiance who had, like, and I was earning a shit ton of money in comparison to them, and so, like, the rent for me, I think that's more fair, because say if, like, our rent was $4,000 and I'm earning $100,000 a year and he's earning $30,000.
But would you not just, like, find a place that's more suitable for both of you?
Yeah, I think that then you're, like, I just think, why would you go off the lesser income?
Well, no, just find a middle ground. Instead of having a $4,000 apartment, have like a $2,000 apartment.
Yeah, I don't know, but, like, why not spend your money?
I guess, yeah, I guess we've always disagreed on it.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's certain things, and, like, I
think,
again,
for me, in terms of, like, say, feminism, which we touched upon with this question, is like, we have been historically with finances and like housing and stuff like that, it has been the men usually who go out and provide the home. So I think now it's kind of our turn to step up in terms of feminism, when, you know, we can harp on all day long being like, oh, feminists, like, equal rights, until what, we start earning more and then we don't want to give the rent, when men have been doing that for years. They've been providing homes for years.
Yeah, but I think for me, it's like the egalitarian part of it is just spending an equal amount, so you never have that, like, imbalance of, like,
but I think it's
one person, like, I mean, again, if that's something that is agreed upon in your relationship, then whatever, that's your own business. You
I
know?
Think if you're both equally working the amount of time, then finances are different. So it's like,
but you're never going to be making the exact same amount of money.
No, but there's obviously like very obvious, like you can see, I've had fellas where like you can clearly see the difference of even expenditure from
yeah.
the day to day. You can tell how
it's,
people earn.
It's nuanced because it depends, you know, if someone's owning property, that's completely different. You know, if someone has a mortgage in their own thing, I can completely understand you being like, look, you just come live in my house. I'm not going to like take rent off you. There's going to be a tax, you know, like I can understand for like ease of like, and there's always going to be different kind of elements, you know, that as in like if you're moving into someone else's home, are you getting an apartment together? Like there's so many different instances, but I guess, you know, we'll have to leave that because we could split hairs on that all day. We have done before in the podcast, but I think that like for this girl, I think you should just not put so much pressure on yourself and understand that like if it's a decision that you and your partner have made together and it's to better your own life, like it doesn't make you a bad anything. If anything, it makes you like you've got a good relationship because someone, you know, and I'm sure you would do the same for him in a few years. If he was like, I don't want this job anymore, I want to go back to college, and you were making loads of money, you know, that's the, yeah. your time to step up.
You have to help each other in relationships mm-hmm. and like definitely with careers, they can be ever changing and you can just want to take a new route or whatever. So fair fucking play to you is what I say, girl. You have the pick me one. We have our third question.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey girls, pick me girls are all over TikTok lately, and unfortunately, I think I am one. Not to the extent that I'm like, I'm only friends with boys because they're less drama, hee hee, but more like I'll say certain things when a hot guy is in earshot so he'll hear me and fancy me. I know it's harmless enough, but I need to stop because I'm literally giving myself the ick. Just wondering, do you ever have the internal male gaze moments and do or say things that you regret afterwards? Love the pod, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Queen.
Gas. Have you ever caught yourself in that situation where you're like, I'm fully showing off because there's a group of lads over there and I'm like,
I think I've definitely, if I've been like, I have like a couple male friends and stuff, or if I've been dating and it's kind of, you know, back in the day and it was more like casual, you'd get like an odd compliment that was like a compliment towards you, but definitely putting down another type of girl. So say like,
but you happily accept it.
And I'm like kind of leaning into being like, yeah, I'm kind of not that kind of girl. I'm more this kind of girl. That's just me.
That's weird that those girls do exist, but
yeah, it wouldn't be me. But it, like, for example, makeup, you know, I think that that's for men, especially that's a visible thing that they can see and kind of compare girls, like who wears more makeup or you don't wear a lot of makeup or that. So I think sometimes go, you actually don't look different at all with that makeup. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, no, actually, I don't like to wear a lot of makeup myself. I don't really need it, you know, and I can lean into that kind of like, sew up my own arsehole of being like, you know, makeup shaming other girls or whatever, you know, and without even meaning to, but definitely meaning to a little bit in the sense of being like, yeah, just kind of patting myself in the back, being like, yeah, don't really need it. More into skincare, the skincare game.
Yeah, or like, you know, yeah, those MAC girls are crazy. Like for me, I only wear Glossy, which is basically just water with a tiny bit of tint in it.
Yeah, or just being like, yeah, I mean, it just like, it looks so uncomfortable. No, yeah. I love it. Like, I mean, I just, for me, or that kind of like backhanded compliment to a guy. Yeah. You know, where I'm like backhanded complimenting myself and putting down the other girl by being like, yeah, it's just kind of like, I mean, I just kind of like to get ready and go. Like some girls like, oh, I'd love to have the time. I'd love to spend hours doing my hair and makeup, but it's just not me. But like, I mean, love it for them. It's like, I can feel myself being
uncomfortable.
I'm like, ow, I am so devious.
I definitely related to her thing. I remember when I was younger, I would catch myself doing it all the time. And I think only now when I look back and I'm like, oh my God, that thing of like being like, there was guys in earshot. So kind of being like, OTT, like guys that you don't even know, you know, I'm talking about like, I'll set the scene, like you're in like a smoking area somewhere, you're with maybe two girls, you see a group of lads ages away, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, does anybody know how to slut drop? Just like showing off in this way of like, I want them to fancy me. Like,
yeah,
I want,
but you're trying to make it not obvious that that's what you
want. I want their validation. I know I'll never get it because they're not going to walk up to me, and I probably don't want them to come up and hit on me. Like, there's that weird thing as well where I'm not looking for them to come up and be like, hell yeah. I'd be like, ew, you're fucking abusing me. But like, it's that thing of like being like seen. You're seeing yourself through their
so
eyes.
Cringe.
I know, it's so cringe. But we have to admit it because that is how we that's how you like disengage from that activity acknowledging that we all fucking do it.
It's like you get out of yourself, you're floating above yourself, and you're seeing yourself so being fucking cringe. Dope.
Yes, you're like,
I remember my sister did it years ago, and it just, I don't know why this fucking, I've been thinking about the story so often, it just cracked me up. I think it was because that YouTube channel, The Hot Ones, you know, where they get like Gordon Ramsay and Ricky Gervais
with the hot sauce. I love that show.
I know, so random. I know, randomly it's like 75 million views.
I have introduced that to so many people. I'm like, have you ever watched Hot Ones? They're like, what? I'm like,
it's good.
Oh, honey, it's so good. And also, like,
oh, should we do one?
It looks so delish as well.
Really? I'm okay with hot stuff. I'm not great with the extreme ones, but the big like warning sign on the package. Yeah,
Evan bought one then the other week. Fucking hell.
Oh, really?
I was like, what the hell are you doing? You mad bastard.
God, you're fucking mental. But yeah, it was years ago. It was like at Christian camp down in Trebolgan. And I was flipping pregnant down. I tottered. And my sisters were there. My mum always did it where she was like, she comes over the week. She's like, you don't need to go to any of the Christian stuff. Just come down. It'll be a little holiday. And we're like, okay. Go down. Then she's like, right. So 7 o'clock is the first worship a.m. And then, and we're like, what? You said we didn't have to. And she's like, would you go away? I brought you down here. I'm like, yeah, Trebolgan. Like, please. But anyway, so we went down. It was kind of like the youth one. It was like the young kind of adults. And they were doing a hot sauce thing, and my sister fancied this guy called, and I need to say his full name because I don't give a fuck, Winchester Higgins. He came over from America. There's always these like American men who come over from like Texas. His name was Winchester Higgins. What the fuck? And he wore like cowboy hats and like was like fully so good looking. It was like, how are you? You've been carved by goddamn Jesus himself. And so he was like over with his dad, who was like a preacher for the fucking week or whatever. And like Fiona and like we were like, oh God, actually, Mom, maybe I will go to the damn Christian. Maybe I will fucking pop off.
I'll be praising, hands in the air.
I'm like, turns out maybe it ain't so bad.
Turns out I'll be talking in tongues to Winchester later on.
So Sarah was like fancying him and trying to get a fucking him like his attention. And there was like one night they were like all trying hot sauce for some like wild Christian camp like task or whatever. And Sarah's like, I'll try that. Like, and he brought it over from Texas, so it was like this insanely hot one with like warnings all over it and shit like that. And she like took a big gulp and like
she gulped it,
fully dying. Like her face was like blue, spitting out sweat, like, but still trying to look attractive while being like, we were like, are you okay, sir? She's like, no, I'm fine. I was fine. I'm actually really fine at that kind of stuff. I'm like,
trying to be cool.
Like, how cool? Wow, you're so attractive. I can't believe you can you can really take that hot sauce.
Must be 3 million on the Scoville level.
If you can take a dick the way you can take that hot sauce, I'm in for a fucking ride of my life. Like, what was she thinking? I was going to impress this dude.
Well, he probably was like,
taste
I like my women who can handle the heat. The heat of Jesus Christ himself.
Literally, and we were like, it was just so gasping. We were like dying laughing. Just, she was like,
because people get so lose control so much with the like hot sauce.
Oh,
shit.
I know.
It's insane.
And seeing them trying to maintain their sense of like looking like a normal thing.
That's why that show is so good. It's like they're eating and they're like, and the talk question's getting more intense.
I know. And Gordon Ramsay is like chugging Gaviscon. It's so good. He's like, bleh, bleh, bleh. They did one year on Big Brother, which was fucking iconic. It was this guy, Mikey. He was blind and like they gave him like that. And he was like, his tongue was literally like, bleh, 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 bleh. It's so funny. We gotta do one for the YouTube. Get
we'll
the YouTube.
Do it on YouTube. So yeah, we all have an inner pick me, and I'm any girl. Do you know what the most pick me thing is? The girls who are like, I'm not a pick me.
No, I never.
We
did
all
that.
Are. They're like, that's so random that you do that. We fucking all have. I used to sit outside like the arts block with my friend Leanne, and there would be men in earshot, and we would be purposely speaking so insane, purposely like. Bringing up sexual,
yes,
you know, like
yes.
We've all done
really
it.
Really loudly being like, really yeah, loudly. Yeah, I got with him. And he's so good looking.
Like, yeah, I got with him last week. And Leanne, you're so crazy. Like, just being like,
should we go get like locked or something at yeah. 2?
Like, I'm fuck gonna... it. I might fuck my professor. Like, just
or
like,
even in school being like, who wants to go on the hop? I'm not yeah. really feeling geography.
I fucking hate jog. Ruffy.
You like, have to love because,
you have yeah. to admit it as well. Every single girl has fucking done it. We've all done it. It gives me the ick thinking back in it, but the only way you can liberate yourself from it is admitting it, moving the fuck on, and acknowledging when you're doing
and
it
and being able to laugh at it. Because yes. like I brought that up to Sarah the other day, we were fucking dying
like
laughing.
You have to laugh at it, because there's nothing worse than someone who brings it up to like kind of like shame you. It's like, okay, fuck off, Miss High and Mighty. Like,
yeah.
You were acting like a pick me. It's like, oh, you want me to list the
you
times?
You were desperate for him.
Yeah, it's like me and Lindsay fully danced on the fucking Fibber's smoking tables. Like,
when it was raining to try and get attention from grunge lads. Spoiler alert, we got no attention. Still,
it didn't
we
work.
Were fully like, notice me. I'm wearing the clothes that you like. Come on. And they were like, nah.
Yeah, I'm
this
good.
This low key girl over here who's barely wearing makeup, that's more my vibe.
My vibe.
We were like, okay, my boyfriend makes passively racist/sexist/homophobic jokes sometimes and gets super defensive when I bring it up as an issue. He puts it down to just joking, but it really is turning me off him. I love him, but his sense of humor is becoming more and more crass thoughts.
Wow, the Holy Trinity. Racist, sexist, and homophobic. Jackpot, girly. You found one. You found a toxic fucking male. Nothing. It is truly like, you know, when you're getting to know someone and they're great and you're like, and then they make some remark and you're like, what? And then
I'm just going to pretend I didn't hear that.
It slowly evolves into like, oh, this is a major part of your personality.
I think it's like, I mean, it's so annoying because like, you know, people always call us like, oh, they're so anti-woke and stuff like that. Like, you know, we're not at all. It's like, there is like, I think definitely an extremity with the woke world. I think we're all very much aware of that. But there is also just things that are like, dare I say, out of style in humor. There's stuff that is mm-hmm. just like, it's just stale and it's just really like dated. You know, if you're dropping the F word or the R word or the N word, it's just like, no, that's really, it's not funny anymore. Like it never was. Not that she said it wasn't funny anymore. You know, it's just like, no, that's so old. That's so like, how out of tune are you?
Declassé, as my girl Luanne Delaceps would say.
Declassé.
So declassé. But like, it's just like, I mean, first of all, hateful. So it's like, I'm going out with a hateful bastard. Like you're not, and also like, are you going to be, my main thing with that is, and call me fucking self-obsessed, but I think everyone's been there. You're like, are you going to say that around my friends? Like, are you going to randomly come out with some form of like tone deaf, hateful, racist, misogynistic, whatever the fuck is, and one of my gay friends is there or whatever, and like I'm gonna have to, like, because no matter what, and it's really annoying that this just is something that exists in this world, I would love it not to be, but it fucking is. Your relationship does reflect on you. Mm-hmm. The company you keep reflects on you. Like, if you are in a group of people and your boyfriend is like making like a homophobic joke, and like, you know, you're in this weird position because you're like, I have to call you out on this because I think it's gross. But then it's like, I'm going to be having a public fight with you. And then my friends are looking for my reaction. It's really like, just what the fuck is wrong with you? Why is your brain wired that way?
You know, I wouldn't say that in front of your mates. And it's like, I don't even want to be in my living room and hearing you talk this bullshit, because it's really, really embarrassing for you.
For real.
Because it's like, first of all, and I'm so tired, and I really feel like this is more a thing that men do consistently. Anytime I'm around men, they like will say something that just isn't funny. I won't laugh, and I'll be like, you know, explaining why the joke just wasn't funny.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, it's a joke, relax. It's a joke. No. A joke is meant to make someone laugh.
Mm-hmm.
If no one's fucking laughing and people are just looking really awkward and looking at you like you were dragged up on, it's not funny, regardless of you like being like, it's funny, it's a fuck joke, it's a joke. It's not funny. No one's laughing. And then sometimes I've been literally putting men on blast, men specifically, because like I said, it's mostly men who I think really push the buttons with being like kind of just reacting or just rejecting the idea of something being inappropriate and kind of just like trying to really stand up for the fact that they should be able to make a gay joke, like it's a fucking joke. It's like, okay, deconstruct the joke. Explain the joke. Because I'm up on stage selling out shows, making jokes for a fucking living. So
yes.
If I make a joke, I've written it down in my notes months prior before putting it on stage.
Yeah.
So I know that like not everyone has to laugh at it, and some people can be even offended at my jokes. But I do know the roots of the joke, and it's tracked back to something that I think is funny and it makes sense. So if you want to say something's funny, please tell me why it's funny, because I didn't laugh. Did I miss the point?
Yeah, but like, who's the butt of the joke here? Why is it funny because the guy is gay?
Is it funny because you're saying the F word when no one says that anymore? And funny is like being funny or saying something as a joke isn't just saying the N-word, because that's now so outrageous to say that's
shock,
not funny.
Value.
That's shocking and offensive, but it's not funny. So stop trying to fucking cover bad behavior with the fucking it's funny. It's really annoying, and it's just like, you're dumb. You're a dumb motherfucker. And like, you just can't even just retract certain words from your vocab. You're really that dumb that you can't even just think up another way. Like, who was it? Was it Oscar Wilde who said sarcasm is the lowest form of wit? I think sarcasm is just like, sarcasm I don't think is lowest form of wit personally. I think that kind of shit is like just super offensive stuff for being offensive.
Yeah, it's like shock value. It's like trying to be like, you know, that when there's no intellect behind it, and I mean nothing, when literally the joke is that someone is black, someone is gay.
Or I'm saying the word someone, that isn't allowed to be said anymore.
Exactly. To make you be like, oh my God. It's like,
that's just rude. And especially if I've told you, I don't feel really comfortable around that word. You can make me out to be some like snowflake kind of person, but I just don't like hearing that word. End of.
But
just
also
finish it there in that.
Not
line.
Even like to that, like, I mean, of course, I agree with you, but like, I've been around situations like that where like a lad will make a joke about and say something like fucking hateful in it, and like, I just won't laugh. And they're like, oh, for fuck's sake. And I'm like, I'm not entitled to laugh at your shit joke. Even if I have to be around it, which, you know, I'm trying to get out of. But like, if I have to sit here, say it's like, you know, a friend's boyfriend or something like that, where you're like, I'm not going to be getting into it with you right now, because to be honest, it's not my fucking like job to educate you
and
like
don't
why
argue
that's
with
stupid.
Dumb.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you can't make me also fucking find it funny. Like, I'll let you know by literally staring you back in the face, unamused at your fucking joke, because you're just being.
But also, if you want to say something completely outrageous and just like problematic, for lack of a better word, do that. But you also want me to make you feel comfortable in doing that. You want me to like giggle away nervously because
I'm
just.
Yeah, who's the snowflake, bitch?
Yeah, fully. It's sake. Like, so I really do just put men on blast with that, but like being like, deconstruct that joke, and say with the sarcasm thing, because I find that like, again, people can very much use that as a way. I don't think sarcasm is the lowest form of wit, but I think it's the most passive aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, grow a motherfucking pair of balls, because it's awkward when I'm here with a fella and my balls are literally touching the floor and yours are fucking up your sack.
Yeah, it's like you have to make passive aggressive little sly remarks.
Yeah, you can't just say something
and you're like, I'm just sarcastic.
With gusto and with like having your back behind it. Instead, you're like, just going to say kind of slyly because I'm just scared of your reaction. It's pathetic.
It is pathetic. And it's just, it's real fucking, The worst is when it starts to give you an ick, when you're starting to realize like this girl is, where you're like, oh my God, your sense of humor starts and ends here. Yeah. There's nothing else to it. The only thing that you find funny is like basically, and also you probably aren't even making up the goddamn jokes. These are probably just regurgitated jokes from your WhatsApp group that like might work from like some lad in this random WhatsApp group you're in. They might be like, haha, that's gas because you're being so shocking and disgusting. But like, you're so sensitive that you're saying it in front of me and then you get pissed off when I tell you I don't like it. Like,
it's just like, accept boundaries. Mm. Like, there's jokes that I can laugh with, you know, with different friends, and I just know, sir, like, there's different jokes for different fucking folks. Like, I mean, there's jokes that I wouldn't say to my mum because I know that it would kind of offend her.
Yeah.
But then my other friends, I know that they'd find it hilarious.
But like, how also are you, like, I've had this conversation with someone before, and I remember saying to them, like, you know, they do the whole usual, it's a joke, like, relax, you know, that whole bullshit spiel. And I've been like, would you proudly say that in front of your mom? Like, if I told your mom that you made that joke, what would she say? And I know their reaction. They're like, fuck off. And I'm like, you would not like that. Like, would your mom be proud of the son she's, you know, that he's going off?
There's some spicy ass mas out there.
No, there is. But I'm saying these people that I'm talking to, where their mothers were not like that. Okay, and I've known their mas and I've known their fucking families, and just, I'm like, you're not being like, put them down in that way, because that kind of fuck, I'm sorry, that kind of humor and shit, where,
well,
it's,
I think regardless, you're representing yourself, regardless of representing your mom or your sisters or whatever.
I know, but I'm just saying that that is something that would trigger the fucking shit out of them. And I'm like, what I'm saying is that, like, you're representing yourself. How would you feel if someone that you loved and cared for saw you acting that way?
I've seen guys do it in a way of like, it's kind of like, who can say the worst thing? Like, my friend went out with a guy and his group was just that kind of like, you know, they joke about cancer or the IRA or, you know, just stuff that was like, we're just that fucking crazy that we say the thing that no one. And it's like, oh wow, you're so crazy there in your little call center job making a wild joke on Facebook. You are just so out there, bitch. You're so out there that you're still continuing to use like really offensive, stale words that don't really fit in with today's society and vocabulary. You're just so fucking great.
But, yeah, but
you
don't even represent you well. Like, it's like, you, no one, literally, maybe Sean and fucking, you know, Gillo down the road think that it's fucking iconic that you're doing this. But like, on, like, you do realize if you say this, and that's kind of, sometimes you have to let them fucking mortify themselves. Say it in a fucking group. And I'm not going to be laughing. No one else is going to be laughing. And you're going to see that you're an absolute show.
But like you said, it is difficult when it's like, you know, if you are going out with that person and you're waiting for them to mortify themselves. And then,
and you.
And then it's like, but you're already saying, I don't fucking stand for this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's like, I mean, I do think that kind of shit is rooted in so much kind of like male trauma or whatever. Like, I mean, I feel like that kind of humor is very much rooted in like, how much of a man? How much can you take it? Like, even the male WhatsApp group, like, can you take this fucking crazy video of this person being killed? Oh, you don't find this fucking joke funny because you're like, you can't handle the like violence or like whatever
toxic
of this joke.
Toxic masculinity.
It is, hon. But like, I mean, scratch away the surface and you'll just, the root is that it's not fucking funny, bitch. So maybe just stop trying to make, like, tear it down. And I think that's how, you know, I think men do that to women all the time, where they're, you know, say, for example, with the pick me thing, when like sometimes, you know, you're going through Instagram, you're sat beside your fella and you're like, oh, will she ever fucking stop showing her goddamn body? God, it's like, it's a bit too much. And then they're like, okay, we get it. You're jealous. And you're like, jealous of what? Jealous? I could do that. And it's like, okay, shit, I'm revealed.
Yes.
He has seen me being vulnerable, being like, you know, feeling insecure, whatever. It's showcased now. So I think sometimes we have to do that for people in that situation as well, where it's like, why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. Tear back the layers. And unfortunately, sometimes
peel
guys...
Peel that onion, honey.
Peel that onion, baby. But I think sometimes for sure people are just stupid and you can't argue with stupid. Mm-hmm. But in that regard, if someone, you know, then it also roots back to just like the respect level. I'm saying, I don't like that word or I don't like that joke. Could you stop? If they can't, then what else is he not going to be able to do? He's not going to be able to leave the session at fucking 1 a.m. He's going to leave at 5 a.m. You know, like if there's just no simple kind of compromisings.
I mean, even at that though, it's like, and I get where, like, even if he was like, okay, I won't make the jokes around you, it would still, I could understand how it would still get at me, being like, so you're just going to say to other people, you're just going to represent, you're happy with that. That's how you want the world to see you. You want to go into some lads group and like you want them to be like, oh my God, he is mad. He said this joke. It's like that will never, like, if we're going to talk about aging well, like that's never going to be a great representation. Like that is truly the person that you want to project to other people, whether you're saying it to me, to the person that you apparently love, who's told you they don't like the jokes, but you're also going to say it to all your mates and blah, 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 blah. It's like, it is an ick. And it's a major ick. And to be honest, like maybe your intelligent levels or your consciousness levels are just on a different fucking playing field. Like sometimes those things can rear their fucking head where you're like, yeah, we get on, we've good sex, we have nice dates. But at the end of the day, do I want to be going out with someone who they think the best way to represent themselves is racist and sexist and homophobic jokes? Is that something that you want to align yourself with? Because it doesn't mean that also, you are those things.
Why is it funny to just laugh at minorities? Do you know the way? Like we've all had, and we've all visibly seen, I'm sure, like say in school, you know, a gay person growing up and kind of trying to configure their way through that. Or we've seen, you know, people with different races who probably felt quite isolated because they couldn't connect to their, you know, they were whatever.
Mm.
So like, what is the funniness that they are the odd one out? So you're basically just a bully.
You're punching down so far to the point where it's like, and the thing is like, you're not actually punching in because obviously it doesn't mean that gay people or whatever are beneath you, but you feel they're beneath you so that they deserve to be the butt of your joke.
Mm.
Fuck
regardless
off.
If they're in the room or whatever, it's just like it's boring and it is just like, I mean, it's just minging.
It's just the epitome of an ick.
I don't want to get with you.
It's the epitome of an ick. Once someone it starts is. Doing that, it's a, you don't it wanna... can you get it out of your mind? I, for me personally, I really, if it was, you know, getting to the point where she's saying is it's getting really crass and it's constant, I'd just be like, do you know what?
It just makes you not want to get with them, not want to kiss with them.
Yeah,
not
with some homophobic bird. You can both fucking do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, like that girl who went viral yesterday. Did you see her in Manchester?
The state of her.
But it was wild because she looked like, not that looks whatever can tell a person's morals, but like she was like literally swearing the N-word at this
like a bouncer. And no one did anything around her, which I found so weird.
And she looked super quite young and like,
and
you know.
Did you see her apology on Instagram?
No,
she put out an apology and she's like, freedom of speech. It's like, baby cakes. Like she was like, I'm not racist. I've gone out with black men and I've got multiple black co-workers who I love. It's like, just because you work with some black people.
I'd love
people,
to hear what they have to say.
Yeah. I don't think they love you anymore, honey. But she fucking, and then she was like, blah, blah, blah. I'm not racist, but the usual. And then said this whole thing of like, but at the end of the day, freedom of speech. It's like, freedom of speech doesn't cover hate crimes and you physically assaulting someone and using like a derogatory term.
Well, like freedom of speech, yes, but it's racist speech. So you can't then say, I am not racist, but I'm using my freedom of speech to use racial slurs whilst attacking
a bouncer person. Who's probably just doing their job.
Very weird. That was very peculiar. The whole thing was
she
just
lost
like,
her job,
what?
So.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, lost her job. So those black co-workers are probably breathing a sigh of relief.
Like
that she is literally...
How can that just roll off your... what? Shocking.
It's something I'll never get, but yeah.
Last question. I am madly in love with my boyfriend and he is a great and it's a great relationship. He's kind, funny, a total doll. We've talked about the future / family and we both want a few kids. We talked about me going off the pill in a year or so and then start trying. He's 37, I'm 28. He's talked about wanting kids so badly and I'm suddenly baby crazy. So I stopped taking the pill 2 months ago and I haven't told him. He's incredible and I know it is bad, but I don't feel guilty. Yikes. Wow.
Girly, I'm going to have to school your ass. That's so morally bad.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really not cool. Like you guys, you know, having that conversation is a great, you know, that's such a nice thing to have in a relationship, you know, especially because, you know, he's like, nearly 10 years older than you. And you're kind of like, okay, he was wanting to settle down. And I know that age as well. When you are 28, I remember thinking that, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, this is kind of an age where like, you know, fertility-wise, you start thinking about kids, you start thinking, when do I want kids? Do I want kids? All those kind of things. So for a guy to kind of openly express that to you, that he does want children with you, is kind of like a relief because you don't have to have that argument where you're like, oh, I want kids now. And you know that he's brought this up. But like, it just completely takes away any trust he has in you to like not disclose that you're not taking contraception anymore, because you know, well, I mean, like, consent even comes into play.
It's fully a lack of consent.
Yeah.
I had, you know, a situation with a friend of mine where she was having sex with someone and midway through they removed the condom.
Yeah.
It destroyed her life.
She thing or something it's called, isn't it?
Yeah. An offense that can land you in prison.
Yeah.
And it's really, this is where like gender kind of roles really fucking piss me off in the words of like, oh, poor women, because like it's not reciprocal in the sense of like women can, you know, there's no, I don't think it's illegal for women to be, say, like lying about being on the pill, but it is with men if they are like, you know, cheating, I think, like you said, it's called. Yeah. It's just, I feel like that is borderline abusive, especially when you're saying like, he's a doll, he's great. Oh, that's, he is, but what are you?
Mm.
Because if he is all these great things, but you're deceiving him, going behind his back and...
Well, you're not reciprocating those good feelings. You're not reciprocating
how he treats you. You're taking advantage of them and probably thinking, oh, I'll just kind of get pregnant whenever I get pregnant and he'll deal with it because he's so nice.
And because he said to you once that he wants kids. Like,
but you had a plan. You said next year.
Yeah.
And people and everyone should be able to family plan and plan when they want to, or if they don't want to have kids.
Like, yeah, and to have that privilege of like, you know, we always hear these stories of like, you know, girls getting pregnant and, you know, maybe it was like accidental or, you know, with someone who they're in a long-term relationship with. Like, you have such a great privilege in the sense that you have a man who is like a bit older, has probably, you know, he knows what he wants. You want kids. You both have had you have the opportunity, as you said, Linz, to plan your family. A lot of people don't have that opportunity, but you're willing to take that chance away from him because what, you want to get pregnant sooner rather than later? You're only 28.
But also, like, he's a doll. He's so nice.
Yeah. But so, as you said, you're taking advantage of his niceness by having that conversation with you, broaching the conversation with you and giving you, you know, a timeline of like, okay, in the next year, like, you don't know what's going on. Maybe something's like, he might be going into a really busy year of work, or maybe he just doesn't want a baby right now.
Wow. You know? It is just, and I mean, it stood out to me when she said in the end of the question, yikes, I don't feel guilty. Well, maybe you don't respect your man, and maybe you're just like obsessed with this idea of having someone that you can kind of like get away with goddamn murder in a relationship with. And
do you really
get the kind of idea that you want of maybe the perfect family and having kids and having a partner that you can fucking boss around? I don't know, but and I like, think it sounds like he deserves maybe better.
He deserves better treatment, and also like your baby deserves better. Like, you don't want to have, like, when you're starting a family, you know, it's like how Linz and I will talk often about, like, you know, the beginnings of a relationship is kind of when like a lot of boundaries come into play and it kind of sets the tone, not always fully, but like it can set the tone for a lot of what's to come in your relationship. But if your like beginnings are going to be like, if your beginnings of starting a family are going to be you going behind someone's back, getting pregnant when they think you're on contraception, that's going to build such a weird trust element when it comes to parenting and raising a child. Like,
it's just wrong.
There's going to be resentment. There's going to be anger. He's going to be, I mean, he could, like, pregnancies can traumatize people, surprise ones of like, oh, how did you get pregnant? And then he won't, you know, if you're going to continue the lie and say you got pregnant on contraception, he then won't trust.
But also, why can't you be honest with him? Say if, like, for example, you've had the conversation, maybe it was a loose conversation or a drunken conversation, who knows, that you decided a year. And a year can seem like, you know, a very long, it's not, but it can, where you're like, oh, I can't, especially if you're on the pill and you're like, oh, you know, we had Aisling O'Kelly on and you're kind of like, oh, I don't know how long it will take for my kind of, you know, to my body to get used to being off the pill, to be able to ovulate well so I can like maybe get pregnant. And also there's that kind of apprehension of being like, oh, will I be able to definitely have a baby? Yeah. I've never tried before. But why are you not able to just be like, look, it could take us so and so amount of time. I don't know. I'm getting really anxious about that. Could we maybe try sooner? You know, how would you feel about that? But like, to do it behind his back is just morally wrong. And I don't think there's a way to kind of, you know, to paint that in a way that isn't morally wrong. Yeah. And I get it that you could maybe, I can kind of like understand slightly if I was to put myself in your shoes of how you can kind of make yourself not feel guilty by being like,
Well, he said it.
Yeah, he said it. And like, oh, what if it takes me a year to get pregnant? Then like, it will be what we said.
Well, like at the end of the day, you just have to, you both have to go into these things with like mutual respect for each other, and you're not showing him the respect that he gave you by having the conversation and making a plan, you know. And I think the best advice that we can give you is what Lindsay said there, is in like, yes, 100%. Sometimes men don't know that. Like, I've had that conversation with guys where I'm like, you do know if someone's on the pill, like it can take them 6 months up to a year to get their fertility back. So like, if you want to, I remember having this conversation with my ex, like when we were like just talking about kids in general, you know, I was like, you know, we kind of would have to think maybe a year ahead, like because it's also like, it's getting pregnant and then it's another year to like have the baby basically, so that's kind of 2 year window, you know, that way. So you want to plan, but like, educate them, but don't go behind their back and take away a level of trust.
And also, that's not a good way to start a pregnancy, with that amount of anxiety and kind of deceiving mistrust your partner and stuff like
that. You don't want to be fighting over you getting pregnant and him finding out you weren't like, what? Like, come on. You want to
welcome
a pregnancy into a nice, peaceful, and what you sounds like a really healthy, nice relationship, you know? So I think, you know, 2 months isn't a very long time. If I were you, I'd just go back on the pill, or just discuss with him and be like, look,
I'm uncomfortable with waiting that long. I really want to kind of get moving. Are you totally adverse?
Yeah. Or figure it out. Can we use condoms for 6 months or something? You know,
just
that way.
Be open about
Be
open about
Don't
it.
Don't be hiding shit.
Yeah.
And writing to random podcasts.
And you're saying that you're not guilty, but you obviously are a little bit if you're writing it down. I think you're just feeling guilty, but you're trying to cover it in, but it's my right or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. Kind of trying to be a bit defensive.
But sure, look and listen, we can all grow. And hopefully you learn something nice.
Yeah, and don't get pregnant now because we're playing a show in November.
Yeah, you're going to have a few beverages. But also, so, pregnant women, welcome.
Oh, absolutely, queen. Any it gal is welcome, whether you got an it little gal or they, them, or boy in your belly. As we said, girls, general sale Friday, X-Girls live stream, no, X-Girls pre-sale is available now. Go get your tickets, they're going to sell out. We'll be letting you know on our socials as soon as they do. Tickets.ie. Bye, bitches.
Bye, biatches.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.